Welcome back. So great to have you with us this morning on the Faith Radio Network. Why do so many African Americans have a negative view of the Republican Party? And do black Christians in America tend to ignore Democrat candidates' positions on moral issues? Joining us to dive into that hot button topic is Miki Addison. She's the director of communications for Urban Family Talk, which is a division of the American Family Association. Good morning, Miki.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Great. Okay, so according to the Washington Post, African Americans have historically supported Democrats by overwhelming margins, 85% on average in presidential elections. This dates back to about 1972. Why do you think the African American community is so drawn to the Democrat Party?
Well, you know, I think what might be expected is that I would go back to 1964. You know, you say, okay, well, when we had the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that is when we started to see sort of this increase in support for Democrats coming from African Americans. But I believe you have to go back further than that. I think you have to go back to 1932, FDR, and you have to talk about the New Deal. You have to talk about a country coming out of a depression, and you have to talk about sort of a what was believed to be a temporary socialist approach to the ails or the effects of the Great Depression, you know. And I think that overwhelmingly that became something that was a bit of a drug for blacks in this country. And sometimes we don't want to talk about that, but I think we have to go back beyond 1964. We have to go back beyond the 85% number. I think that what we saw was when we saw handouts sort of being synonymous with care, I love you, so I'm going to give you this, then I think that's when we started to see shifts happening among African Americans as it pertains to voting overwhelmingly Democrat.
Now, historically, I mean, if you look way back, Democrats supported slavery and Republicans were abolitionists. So what did the Republican Party do that lost the confidence of African-American voters? Or was it just that the Democrats offered all the free stuff?
I think it was a combination of both. You know, it's an excellent question. See, there was a vacuum that was created after you have the emancipation. You have blacks who are freed now and who have the opportunity to move freely about the cockpit, if you will. But there was still a need for leadership. There was still a need for political oversight. So what history has taught me, as I've read different, and it's a shame that you have to say different versions of history, because, you know, you can read information from the same year and you have two different perspectives on what exactly was happening. But from what I've been able to glean and understand is that you had a vacuum that was created, that you have African Americans who are desperately looking, who continue to look to be represented in government, but at the same time that they are looking for that representation, you have a Republican Party who has sort of, if you will, won their freedoms and fought, if you will, for their freedoms, at the same time now ignoring them in Washington. And so if you look at the research and you look at kind of what was happening at that time, you have blacks in the South who desperately want to have their pleas and their cries heard. It's not just the freedom that we wanted, but now we've got Jim Crow South. Now we've got separate but equal, and we still have this oppression. And it almost seemed as if sort of the sentiment was, well, but you're free now, you know. And I believe that there was the sentiment that there was more that needs to be done. Well, if you couple that sentiment with there's more, it's our freedom, yes, but there is more work that needs to be done. And then you couple that with, you know, fast forwarding, and you say now, you know, you have this disenfranchised people. You have these people who are, you know, in desperate need, and we're going to give them handouts. I think you have a simultaneous effect. You know, you have, and I don't think, and this is just my opinion, you know, I don't think it was intentional, but I think sometimes it's hard to understand the great need that was there when we talk about slaves being freed in America. I don't think anybody was able to anticipate how taxing that would be on our nation, if I could just be honest. And I think that there was just a vacuum that was created there.
So fast forward to today, how does the GOP need to change if they're going to win back the African-American vote in America?
Well, first of all, I think that the Republican Party has got to start acknowledging its history. And I think the Republican Party has got to stand up and say, hey, listen, we were the champions of freedom for blacks in this country, even as recent as 1964. A lot of people like to go back to LBJ and say, yeah, but he signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Yeah, but it was a Republican who pushed through the bill, who largely drafted the bill and helped to garner the votes. It was Republicans who gave the amount of votes in Congress to even have the bill come to LBJ's desk to be signed into law. His own party opposed him in this. It was the Democrats who opposed him. And this is so simple that if people start talking about this and then you encourage people to do this revolutionary thing like go read, I mean, all the facts are here. The numbers are there. Who voted in what way? You know, all of that information is there. I think that we would start to shift the conversation. But, you know, Bill, honestly, I feel like there is a certain amount of fear that exists in the Republican Party that people are almost afraid to talk about this because it's almost sort of like a history of being attacked. You know, you're called a racist so often that you almost kind of like think maybe I am. So I don't know how to talk about these issues. But I think that if you look at the history and, you know, the facts don't lie. You can have all sorts of opinions and commentary on history, but the facts don't lie. You look at who voted which way in 1964, you know, that information is there and anybody can go and look at that. You have to ask yourself, you know, who was Senator Everett Dirksen, you know, who largely drafted the Civil Rights Bill and, you know, for it to come to LBJ's desk, you know, and then you look at the opposition, people have to say, or if they're reasonable, they have to say, wait a minute, you know, I don't think we're talking about that enough. I don't, we are talking about the party that really was quote unquote for my people, for lack of a better way to say that. So I think Republicans have got to start talking about their history. They've got to start talking about their party platform when they were addressing the rights of human beings before that was even a party platform of Democrats. You know, it was the belief that Black Americans were not 100% human. You know,
but two-thirds human, right? That's what that's what the belief was.
Yeah, you know, exactly right. And so we have got to have that conversation. We have got to be able to explore that. We've also got to be able to look at the sticky history that exists. I think when there's a great level of discomfort when it comes to dealing with racial issues. Now, and we may get into this a little bit later. I'll follow your lead on this, but I think we've also got to talk about the drug of handouts. And we've got to talk about how that has adversely affected the African-American community. You know, I grew up on all of the government's programs, and I can tell you that these programs have tentacles that are not really set up to free you, but they are set up to really suck you dry. I mean, to destroy you as a person. And it's only by the grace of God and understanding the way that I've been created that that is not sort of the legacy for my children, that I was able to, you know, to be set free from that. So we've got to talk about those things as well.
Well, and kudos to you for rising above that, Miki. And that just shows, you know, your own grit, your own determination, and the fact that you understand the truth when it comes to how devastating these handouts can be. We're talking to Miki Addison. She's the Director of Communications for Urban Family Talk with the American Family Association. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Miki Addison. She's the Director of Communications for Urban Family Talk at the American Family Association. We're talking about the presidential elections and politics and how African Americans tend to vote. I'm curious, Miki, there have been in the last 8 years or so some really strong conservative African American candidates. Ben Carson currently, Herman Cain 4 years ago, the restaurateur from the Atlanta area, successful businessman. Why is it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that very few African Americans are willing to support a conservative African-American candidate.
Yeah, now that should be perplexing to anyone who looks at that, because you go, on the one hand, you believe that there is sort of this idolatry that exists when it comes to skin color, certainly in the Black community, that the color of a person's skin is exalted even above the word of God, above your own Christian conviction, your allegiances to skin. And this has been a huge problem. But you see that fall off when it comes to conservatives who are running in elections. And the only thing that I can reason is that there has been this notion that if you don't go with the herd, you know, if you don't kind of toe, well, appropriately, the party line, then you are an Uncle Tom or you are a house Negro. You know, you're called all of these names, that you're a sellout, you hate yourself, you don't love your people, that kind of thing. And so I really think the larger question is, how do we get to a place where we believed as African Americans that overwhelmingly Democrats have the best the best heart when it comes to the Black community? I mean, if you look at it, you know, Tavis Smiley, who is a secular radio commentator, said something that I thought was profound. He said, history will show that under the first Black president, the bottom fell out of America for Black Americans. What do you do with that? And this guy is a Black radio commentator, and he's not known for being conservative, but he, you know, he does pride himself on speaking the truth. And I would echo what he's saying, that there is something incredibly accurate about that. And so now you have, you know, on the Democrat side, you have like a Bernie Sanders and you have a Hillary Clinton who are coming along with sort of this new song. And my question to Black Americans is this: if a Black president was not able to make your American experience better, and he was supposed to do that, remember, he was the candidate of hope and change, if he was not able to make your experience better, don't you think it may be time to identify with issues that go beyond the color of your skin, traditional party affiliation, or even what is promised on the surface? And I would say this, it would be incredibly offensive to me, and I think it should be offensive to anybody in the African-American community, to be seen as a voting bloc that only cares about handouts. You know, if I could, I wanted to read something that I stumbled across a few years ago after watching the movie Lincoln. I was doing some research for a blog post, and I came across a quote from FDR. And now this was back in 1935, and FDR was addressing the nation, and he was talking about the New Deal, talking about, you know, all these expansive programs where he was going to help kind of turn around the immense poverty that was experienced by so many in this country. And this is what he said in addressing the State of the Union address. He said, the lessons of history confirm, this is 1935, the lessons of history confirmed by the evidence immediately before me show conclusively that continued dependence upon relief induces a spiritual and moral disintegration fundamentally destructive to the national fiber. To dole out relief in this way is to administer a narcotic, a subtle destroyer of the human spirit. How do you say that in 1935, and then we will continue on for decades where you have one political party who's trying to dole out that narcotic, and not only are they doling out that narcotic, but they are using that as their party's platform? I mean, you've got Joe Biden saying they want to put you in chains when you have another party. And listen, and I'm not talking about allegiance to parties. I'm talking about allegiance to Christ, and I'm talking about understanding that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, when he created Adam first, he put him in the garden to work it and tend it. And Bill, that was before the fall. So work wasn't a punishment. In fact, it came from the understanding that God knows how we're made, that we must do something with our hands. So when you have a party that rails against that and tells you for decades and generations what you can't do, what you're not fit to do, it is the epitome of the plantation master that will not go away, and we have got to address that.
Whoa, preach it, sister.
Oh, sorry.
Them some fine words from Miki Addison. You are talking a lot of sense there, and I know that may be hard for some people to hear, but you've lived it. You come from a family background where you know what welfare checks can do, what assistance can do to the human spirit. Fascinating that FDR, and obviously the New Deal was for a certain time and place, We had significant problems in America post-Depression, and he knew he had to do something to generate the economy again. But it sounds like at some point he said, this can't continue because, as he said, it's a narcotic that will, you know, spiritually rob us. And
that's
yet
right.
Here we are 80 years later in a situation where there are many who have kind of taken that drug and continue to take it on a daily basis.
And now we have a presidential candidate who is running on the platform that he's going to give this drug out for free willy-nilly. We have a socialist running. I mean, if you think about this, you go from one extreme to the other. You know, I mean, it's absolutely insane that you could have a president say, and I believe that, you know, his intent was right. I want to help people, but we know that this can't go on forever. To now, we have a candidate who is actually running for president who says, yes, not only will it go on forever, but we're going to expand it. We're not going to talk price tags. We're just going to talk, you know. And I want to say this, too, Bill, because I want to make sure to give glory to God. I believe that my outcome in life would be the same as a lot of people I grew up with if it were not for Jesus Christ, if it were not for the grace of God, and my mother saying to us that there was nothing that anyone owed us, that we had been given the same opportunities and the same ability by God to do great things for Jesus. And that has been our aim. And as a result of that, we have been blessed in this country that we live in. But our first and foremost aim, always instilled in us by our mom, was to glorify God. And so I believe that if we want to see morality return to the voting booth, then you've got to see people's hearts turn back to God.
You know, and that's not just for African Americans. That's for Americans of all stripes and colors and shapes and sizes.
Yes.
And unfortunately, far too many Christians do not have a fully developed worldview. That's clear from Barna's research and others. So something that I think all of us need to really focus on is how are we going to apply our faith to all spheres of life? Our guest, Miki Addison, the Director of Communications for Urban Family Talk at the American Family Association. They have a 2016 presidential voter guide available on their website. And if you want to learn more about Miki and her radio show, where do you go, Miki?
You can go to AFA.net and click on Urban Family Talk, and you'll be able to connect to us that way.
All right. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you, and may the Lord continue to guide you and direct you in your work there.
God bless you, Bill. Thank you.